read the reading, and then Simon will come and speak to us. We read from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. This is the story of Thomas, who is so unfairly labelled doubting Thomas, who behaved in just the same way that I would have behaved, but probably slightly better. John 20, verse 19. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I shall see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Amen.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, each one of you, for your welcome. More than you'll ever know how much I've been blessed by this community here. It's not how much I've been blessed by this community. And in many, many ways. So much I could say, but your name, Lawn Community Church, you know, Lawn, that's for open air. Community, that's about team working. And church, that's God's way of blessing the world. But this last year, I'm actually 3.5 stone lighter than I was when I last came into Lawn service. Because we've got football fans in training, and 30 guys, I've now mentioned another course. But what did I say about that? But this has gone very deep for me, body, mind, and spirit. And I think, as I stand before, share some words about Thomas with you, all of us are unique and special, but we're all human beings together. So whenever you're out anywhere, whether it's whatever they might or might not believe, we are human beings. We are connected. And in Genesis, each of us the image and likeness of God. And yet we are all, as we said in worship, unique and very, very special. And so the Bible has always taught personal faith into community. Where we get confused is we're individual worlds, where the individualism, we've lost that sense of community. And so I would really encourage you to thank God today especially for the ways in which you here remind the whole church we're part of community and team working. I would never have done this 3.5 stone without the power of the group, without SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic time orientated, but actually how God wants to speak to each of us in our bodies, in our minds, and in our souls, we become most effective for him. Your verse for the year, Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what Susan invited me to consider was a particular biblical character used their life and teaching to reflect on some aspect of that. So a bit of a refresher for you, if you've been around for a while, Moses, Daniel, Jeremiah, John, Paul. And today I've chosen Thomas. Nicolai called our oldest son Thomas. Our Thomas now is in London. And Thomas, often called, as Stephen said, doubting Thomas. But I want to say questioning Thomas. The thing I want to bring you today is Thomas, a man of mature faith. On whatever age we are, whatever age we are spiritually, I hope with Lawn School round the corner, we're up for lifelong learning and lifelong teaching. And I said this in a wedding I took yesterday. You remember your school days, the three L's. Well, here are five L's. You can use this for anybody you come across this week. We're on this earth to live, love, learn, listen, and leave a legacy. To live, love, learn, listen, leave a legacy. What does it mean to be a lifelong learner and a lifelong teacher? The more open we are, the more we will see. That's right. Well, thank you for this very special day and very special community. And pray, Lord, that we would be thankful to you for the blessings. Thank you for the blessing I received myself and us family from Lawn Community Church in so many ways over the years. And as we enter into the wonder of the Trinity, loving God, show himself on earth as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Give us grace to walk the earth gently and to journey on together in peace and together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. I should say, actually, I think it was last year your teaching was We Make the Road by Walking, Brian McLaren's book. And once again, Christchurch picked up that excellent idea of yours here, this wonderful centre. We put the idea of our community centre at Christchurch. So thank you very much for that. And joking aside, my running is an awful lot faster. I've lost 3.5 stone in weight. And that was one incredible time. It was County Ground. And the guys running it, they had a sort of van load and covered with sheets. And said, come forward like you're going to receive communion. And they took off the sheet. That's what you lost in sandbags. And I picked up 10 kg of sand. I've lost now 24% of my body in the last year. But I can say on Friday, I literally skipped. My running was so quick, you'd hardly see me. I was so fast. But it's a very moving thing about travelling. I did not need that. I was reasonably fit. But it's a very special thing to be lighter on my feet. For my boys, watch out, Dad, because I get my drop shot and tennis now. So let's look at Thomas and a man of mature faith.
To have a bit of light here.
In so many ways, Thomas speaks to us about our humanity. One of the disciples, and this word doubting, and whether or not you're somebody who has, I have many, many questions. When I left primary school, we were only 10 of us in our group, and our teachers clubbed together and gave a book to sum us up. And my book, which I brought today, is called the Encyclopedia, Tell Me Why. Simon is always asking questions. Why does the sun shine? Why does the rain rain? He'll always be asking questions. I only say to you, and I probably do run now 4 or 5 times a week along the lawns around Coatwater. I've got many things I work through in my mind on those runs. And it could be questions, it could be doubts, things that I don't understand. But I know I'm a better person having had that run. I work things through with God and would really encourage you to consider those. So, for example, you might say Thomas the natural pessimist. Now, you may be here, you're a glass half full person or a glass half empty. That's whatever you are, doesn't matter. What it matters is that we recognise that others are different to ourselves. In a community, we can learn together. So Thomas is perhaps a natural pessimist. Man very liable to take the despondent, hopeless view of the future and see the dark side of everything. He has eyes for the gloom of death. Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? We've got no doubt he loved Jesus, even enough to be willing to go to Jerusalem and to die with him. Upon hearing that Lazarus was sick, Jesus told his disciples, we're going to Judea. Thomas said, let us also go, may die with him. If he were that gloomy before the death of Jesus, by crucifixion, what would he be like upon Christ's death? After the crucifixion of Jesus, Thomas was a broken-hearted man. And all of us come to worship with our broken hearts. I love Henri now. We're all wounded healers. Carry our wounds. And that might explain something of the incident which Stephen read for us. We have no picture of Thomas or count anything he did or said in Day of Sunshine. Perhaps this helps to explain what's happening about him. A lot of kinsfolk in our day, we will observe the method Jesus used with Thomas, not unusual in his dealings with us. Jesus' understanding of Thomas, his body, his mind and his soul was absolutely right for him. And he patiently brought him to a mature faith. More than anything else, we need a mature faith in 2016. So let me offer you these reflections about what we learn from Thomas in this passage. First of all, Thomas lost an opportunity. Thomas's big mistake was he withdrew from Christian fellowship. His isolation, he missed the sight of Christ. The thirst for the year says, transformed by the renewing of your mind. How is your mind renewed? So much comes to us in so many ways today, in so many different forms of IT, social media, newspapers, books, etc. How does God speak to us? And maybe how openly I'm meeting God, possibly on a walk, maybe in a coffee morning, maybe we're out and about. But Thomas cut himself off from others. Maybe we do that we have to be careful of that. He lost what they got, the sight of the risen Lord. Unless I see the marks, my hands, I will not believe. He was alone in his gloominess. It was G. Campbell Morgan who said, the unjustifiable criticism of Thomas. See, he was not there on that first occasion. Yes, he ought to have been there with the other disciples, but he wasn't, and he missed the blessing. Just imagine for a moment. You've been at Long Beach Church every week for 8 years. You went on holiday. A revival happens. And you just were somewhere else. Now, we smile about it, but no, I stand here. I'm sad because there are people I'm not seeing as many as I would like to do around Swindon at various Christian gatherings, and I pray for them as I'm talking today. But how easy it is we separate from community gatherings. That's why I remember we come together to remind ourselves that we're so much stronger in community. Well, Dr. Archie, secondly, Thomas was a practical, pragmatic disciple of Jesus. Thomas calculated the situation. Can you see it so brilliantly for us? You're like Thomas. He was not going to pretend to understand that which to him was fraught with mystery. So really important in a community, we speak up. We don't understand something or see a different sort of things, because that's part of the uniqueness we bring to the gathering. There are lots of things in my spiritual, or perhaps your spiritual walk, you must ponder and think through for yourself. Jesus patiently waits and guides us at our spiritual level, Jesus patiently worked with Thomas and strengthened him at the point of his weakness. So I give an example. One of my weaknesses of many was cheese and biscuits after a late night meeting, rather than 10. I don't have anything wrong with cheese and biscuits, but it's amazing how you get into a good habit by that. And we were given on the first day a football shirt, a football shorts. I preached many times over the years about put on the armour of God. And we had some rules, you know, guidelines for the group. One of them was about being part of the team, do what we could. And I've seen football players, 19 years of football chaplain, kiss the bench. And I choose biscuit, I'm in because I see the shirt there, but part of the group together. And it's about understanding that habits come very easily. Every choice has consequences. And just a very small thing, if you have a weakness with cheese, actually if you grate cheese, it's amazing what you can do. Cheese goes longer if you grate it rather than cut. So that's nothing for another day. But it's actually how God takes these habits. You learn new habits. And so again, that wonderful illustration, Frank, of the water today, that actually the more water we drink, the more it takes away our appetite. Our water is really good for you, for the living water. So I really encourage you to rejoice and say grace over a glass of water, because it's a wonderful gift. People haven't got what we take for granted. And the Christian Aid Week was collecting just down the road here on Friday night. How gifted we are to have clean water. And so I'm thankful he's come again and again to pick me up where I failed or doubted or gone my own stubborn way. He is the way, truth, and the life. So Thomas got the opportunity as a practical, pragmatic disciple of Jesus. But Thomas was an intellectually honest man, willing to face the facts. So it's really important that we have dreams, but there are also realities that we face, and we're in challenging times. You missed the programme over Holy Week, about Christianity in this country, very telling programme. And just the size of the task in this country. And yet, we're not without hope, and how we hold the reality alongside expectation and our hope. Thomas looked carefully into things, determined to inquire as to their deepest meaning. He refused to say he understood something, but he did not. He refused to say he believed something he really didn't. Faith like Thomas is better profession without possession. Possession, profession without possession. So today, interestingly, ecumenically, is the day we'll never remember what happened to Wesley when his heart was strangely warmed. And maybe our heart might be strangely warmed in this service today. One of the great things about the Wesley Carr system was when they came together in their small groups. Where have you met God's grace this last week? Think of that wonderful example of what was shared today. It's a great way, because we can have our stories from some years ago, but where has God's grace met us this last week or this last day? And so maybe an update testimony this week of God's grace in action for us. Thomas was sure he went the whole way. He declared, "My Lord and my God." He meant every word of it. When a human being fights his way through his doubts to the conviction that Christ is Lord and God, his one consuming passion is to glorify God and serve him. And fifthly, Thomas, the man of courage and vision. Courage and vision. Pray that you develop a character. My dad's with me at the moment. He's 86 years old. I see my dad grow up in his ninth decade, another challenge we face as a family. I said to my dad just a couple of days ago, "I'm really proud of you. I've seen you on your knees every night in prayer. And the fruit of that is in this ninth decade, you know, as you trust God through various challenges we face." And the wonderful thing in this community, have people of all ages here. Some of you here take part with me in Park Run. The thing about Park Run is you can do it, you can walk around, you can run around, you can take a dog with you, push a pushchair, go in a wheelchair, etc., etc. something will cheer you in. And it's a wonderful thing that on Trinity Sunday to be aware of people coming and saying, cheering us in. And a day with quick results and sprints, the longer term through. So it's about running the race for life and ending the race well. Now, to get the habits right, things going well, in our challenging moments, we keep the faith and are cheered along. So a man of courage and vision. Above all, then, with Thomas, believing is seeing. For Thomas to go to be able to say, my Lord, my God, what happened to Thomas? Legend happens that he founded a church in India, which has grown to millions strong now. But as you think of your Bible verse for this year, where do we spot the opportunities? How pragmatic are we to follow Jesus Christ? How intellectually honest are we? How full of courage and vision are we? Believing is seeing. See, in all these ways, Jesus took Thomas seriously. He wanted to help him find maturity. You and I will know there are some people who you work with for many, many times who maybe challenge us because they've got so many questions. And I do think we need to have an apologetic today for the questions people are actually asking. But actually to pray for those outcomes. In the end, it's the Spirit's work in hearts and minds. But I would encourage you from your Bible verse, you think about Thomas. The Lord might renew our minds and our hearts and our souls. And how Thomas was caught up in something incredibly that actually, if you look at the story, Jesus knew Thomas personally, one of his teammates, so wanted to find a living faith. And that's the passion Jesus has for each one of us. I've got quite a simple faith deep down. Of that Sunday school, someone puts it, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full, wonderful face. Look a stranger given the light of his glory and grace. Why I love Thomas, because he turned his eyes on the risen Jesus. And he had his doubts and his questions prepared to change his mind. We do need to have that foundation, but that alertness today to be able to come as we are. All the challenges that face Thomas, challenges that face Bond Community Church, Christ Church, St Mary's, Church of Swindon, the human race, actually, with renewed faith and trust. Just like to encourage you to think about a bit of a phrase, paradigm shift. Going to go back a few moments. David Howe, many of you, leading a session on paradigm shift, and that is for children and young people's work. And there's so many challenges facing us as we serve children and young people. But what paradigm shift does God need to do in us as communities, to help us to see the power of the resurrection, the new life, to allow our minds and our hearts and our bodies, souls, to be caught up in the wonder of being disciples? As I get older, I'm more and more interested in emotional intelligence. So basically, when we fall over, how do we bounce back? So how mature is our faith when it goes through suffering and hard times? So I ask you, we might sing a song now called There is a Redeemer. Many people know it very well. There are plenty of words in the chorus. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. This song is written by Keith Green, who died in a plane crash at 39 years old. Melody, his widow, wrote the third verse after his death, going through bereavement. When you sing this in light of this, and you think of Thomas's journey, and all of our journeys, what does mature faith look like? We face up to our questions, our doubts, our fears, and our worries. That's okay. But we're part of community who can hold us together And so we weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. Can I invite you to stand now? And as we stand as human beings, precious and unique. We stand with our questions, with our doubts, our fears and our worries. But we know that even right now, God wants to make us more mature. Be confident who we are in Jesus Christ. In what happened to Thomas, how with his many questions and his worries, God gave him this new perspective, maturity, and that Jesus said to Thomas and the disciples, blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. And so as we stand, we pray for that maturity in character, in personality, in service, as lifelong learners. There is a Redeemer. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit until our work on earth is done.